So John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read this passage from verse 1 down to verse 14. John 1, verse 1, down to verse number 14. So let's all open our Bibles and let us give attention to the Word of God as we find it before us in this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of this, his own Word, to each of our hearts. Now please open the Word of God with me where I read earlier, John chapter 1. Let's open up the Word of God at this place, and for a time now, in the closing part of this service, we will consider the message of the Lord that he has laid in my heart from these verses. So John chapter 1, and let's keep our Bibles open there and be ready to hear the Word of God. Let us just again then pray, looking to the Lord for his help and his blessing upon us as we come before him and we are met around his word, his truth. We need the Lord's blessing, the Lord's power. Let us seek him to that end. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee again, and we bow down in thy presence in the Savior's name. We pray for help by the Spirit as we now take the book of God and the message that thou hast given, and seek by thy help to bring that word to this gathered people. Solemnize our hearts. Remove from us every distracting voice, all that would clamor for our minds and our attention. Shut us in with thee for a time. Remember our webcast hearers, bless them too. And speak to our hearts, we pray. O Lord, we pray for the visitation of God. We pray for the help of the Spirit. We pray for the pricking of the conscience. We pray for the word to get home and to be applied, even by the Spirit of the Lord himself. Hear and answer prayer, and abide with us now, we pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake, for his glory. Amen and amen. The verses that I've read with you form the introduction to the Gospel according to John. And in this introduction, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, is plainly presented. He is spoken of in verse number 1 as the Word. It's one of the names of the Lord. And then in verse 14 we have that great statement, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The statement clearly reveals that Christ, the eternal Word, the everlasting Son of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, for he has all that, took a human nature, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. And so in this passage, there is therefore one of the most powerful reminders and one of the most powerful statements in all Scripture of the truth of the incarnation, the birth of our blessed Redeemer. In this passage, he's also given another title. And you will have seen it as I read down through these verses. It is that title in which he is called the light. And as we can easily see, those two titles are connected. They are inseparably connected together. When he is called the Word, as he is in this passage, it is being taught that he came to bring a message to men. And when a message is brought to men's minds, then they receive light. They receive illumination. And therefore, through the one person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word and God's message is brought to men in all their need and in all their situations in this world, that they might be rescued and that they might be delivered from their fallen state and from their sinful condition. He's the Word and he is the light both. And this passage connects these two titles and sets before us this wonderful presentation of our Savior as the one who rescues men from their sin. That issue of rescuing sinners is the great goal of the Lord's birth, as this passage teaches us, and as is proved by this description of the Lord Jesus, the Word and the light. And the point that is clearly made is that Christ, the Word, came into this world to bring light to men. And as the light, he saves them from their sin. Look with me there at verse number 4, and you read these words, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In him was life, that's in Christ was life. It's telling us about his great life as the eternal Son. It's telling us about the life that he then took when he became man, and yet never ceased to be God. It's telling us that in this way he came into this world, and it's telling us that this life of Jesus Christ is the light that men need. The light that brings to them all that they need to know in order to be saved from their sins. There are three lines of thought that we will consider with regard to Christ, who is the Word, and who comes to bring men the light that they need to save them and to deliver them and to bring them to a true knowledge of the forgiveness of their sins. Three simple thoughts and three lines of truth I want to leave with you this morning from this particular point that I'm making. Christ the light. First of all, there is Christ and his revelation. What is the point of light but to illuminate and to drive away darkness and to bring men to see, to enable them to see? In other words, to bring a revelation. And so when we think about Christ under these titles, he's Christ the Word and he's Christ the Light, we are clearly seeing and understanding that we have before us Christ and his revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to bring a revelation to men. And he's here through his Spirit and in the Scriptures to bring to your heart today a revelation that you need to know and you need to consider and you need to understand that you might be saved from your sins. Christ and his revelation. Now, the necessity of that revelation is very plainly underlined when we think about this very title. When you think about the name, the Word, and the name, the Light, they both imply that there's darkness in this world. And there's darkness in the hearts of men. And therefore, we must consider that when we think about Christ and his revelation, a revelation is needed because men and women and young people and even our little ones are in darkness. You see, the whole world lies in darkness. The Bible tells us this. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he came into a world that was a dark place. And it continues to be a dark environment. I mean spiritually and morally speaking. And it's dark because of the sinfulness of the human heart, the sinfulness of the human mind. There is darkness in man, and therefore there's this darkness in the world. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way. He talks about darkness covering the earth and gross darkness the people. And so without Christ and without God and without the light that's in Jesus Christ and in the Scriptures of truth, there would be no revelation. There would be no illumination of the hearts of men. And therefore Christ and His revelation is absolutely necessary because of the darkness that's in this old fallen sinful world in which we live and in the human heart. Look at verse number 5. Where it says, the light shineth in darkness. That again is Jesus Christ. And therefore you've got in the one little statement, the light shineth in darkness, the fact that He is the light, and the reason why He must be, and the reason why He came, and the revelation that He brings, the light shineth in darkness. It could be read, the light shineth in the darkness. Think about the very beginning of time. And you read in Genesis chapter 1, those great statements in verses 2 and 3, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And again in Genesis 1, and that's the remarkable thing, this chapter corresponds with Genesis 1. Notice how it begins, in the beginning. In the beginning. How does the Bible start? In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. And in the beginning there was darkness. And the Holy Spirit moved. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was illumination. And there was light. And there was a dividing between the darkness and the light. And so we are reading there of revelation. And light coming. And light being brought to bear upon the darkness. And the darkness being dissipated and driven away. And let me tell you, friend, there's darkness in your heart. And the only one who can save you from that darkness is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's darkness in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. And you've been shown today that you live in a world of darkness. And you've been shown today that the fall of man plunged man into this spiritual and moral darkness. A darkness out of which he cannot find his own way. And yet, though he will remain in that darkness, if something doesn't happen, and he will perish in that darkness and sink into the darkness of everlasting hell, if something doesn't happen, yet something has happened. Jesus Christ has come into the world to save men from the darkness of their hearts and from the midnight darkness of everlasting hell. And deliver them from their sin. Christ and His revelation. It is necessary because of the darkness of sin. And thank God there's an answer to that darkness. And it's found in our Savior. Have you ever noticed that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, it was during the night that the shepherds received the message. In Luke chapter 2, I'll read a verse or two. It says in Luke 2 verse number 8, we got these great words, Luke 2 verse 8, it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Darkness, nighttime, symbolic of the darkness of the world into which the Savior was born. It was nighttime. It was dark. It was foreboding. In those hills around Bethlehem, where these men are guarding their flocks and keeping watch over their sheep. And what are we told? Verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Oh, what light there was suddenly brought to bear upon the scene. As you read there in Luke chapter 2, 8 and 9, these shepherds, they now receive the message of Christ. The message that the Lord Jesus has just been born. I'm not saying He was born during the night. I can't be sure of that. He maybe was born earlier that day. But we are told that when the shepherds heard the word, it was brought to men who were in darkness. Not only in the darkness of the night, but men who were in the darkness of sin. Because as you read these verses about those shepherds, it becomes very, very clear that that night was the night when they were saved. Because we are told they went to find the Lord Jesus. We're told they made haste to find Him. And we're told that they worshipped Him. Here is the Redeemer. Here is the Savior. Here is the Word. Here is the light. And it comes to these men that were in darkness. And we need light. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, as I just read. A blinding, powerful light filled the skies. It most undoubtedly was that cloud of glory that often appeared from time to time. And in Bible times, as we say, the Lord often appeared in the form of a cloud of glory and light. And I have no doubt that's what this was. And therefore, accompanying the angel, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the darkness of that night would have been scattered. For that time at least, as that light appeared, and the message that Christ had been born was brought to their hearts and to their souls. And therefore, what a demonstration of the very fact that Christ the light had been born. It was demonstrated by the very light that shone and by the illumination that was all around them in that moment, in that time when they heard the message of the angel. There's the necessity of the revelation underlined. Nighttime, darkness, oh how important that there is a message. But let me say this, a little about the nature of this revelation. It's necessary because we're in darkness. We're fallen, guilty souls. We're in the darkness of sin. But the nature of the revelation that came through the birth of Jesus Christ, and what is it? It's God's way of salvation. That's the nature of this revelation. God's way of salvation in and through Jesus Christ. There's another character who stands out in this passage. And he's John the Baptist. And verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It says then, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And so in those verses we read of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, he's sent by God to bear witness of Christ that men might believe and be saved, we're told here. Now what did John say? We'll go a little farther down this chapter. Go to verse 29 and also verse 36. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he repeated his sermon the next day. Because verse 35 says, again the next day. And then verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. He repeated his sermon. Why? Because they hadn't listened to it the first day. And he wasn't ashamed to repeat his sermon because he wanted to get it across. And what was his great message? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, my friend, there in a nutshell is the nature of the revelation that came through Jesus Christ. We have seen the necessity of it. Men are in darkness. They need light. But what is the light? What's the nature of it all? It's this great message that Jesus Christ came not to be an example, not to be a martyr, not to be a mere prophet and tell people things, but he came to be the Lamb of God. And in those words, behold the Lamb of God, in those words you have got true light, because in those words you have got the cross. And you've got the atonement. And you've got the one and only sacrifice that ever was made that does take away sin. Here's another great title actually in this chapter for Christ. He's called the Word, he's called the Light, and he's called the Lamb of God. And they're all brought together. As we think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Light and his revelation to men. And here it is in a nutshell. He's the Lamb of God. My friend, that is the only way by which you can be saved from your sins. It is through Jesus Christ having become the Lamb of God. And all that that means. And there's too much there, of course, for me to try to even explain fully and completely in this meeting today. But the Lamb of God, where do you see him? Where is he going? What does it all mean? When he came into the world and he brought light and John calls him the Lamb of God, he's going to the cross eventually. That little babe, when he was actually born, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And those swaddling clothes are the clothes of death. That's the significance of them. He's born to die. He's born to shed His blood. He's born to give His life. He's born to go to the cross. He's not there, as I said, to be admired. Men don't admire Him. They reject Him. He's not there to be lauded and praised because the world had no room for Him. He's actually there to die. And to die for sinners like you and me. And therefore, Christ and His revelation, it's so clear. He comes as the light. He comes to bring the message of the cross. He comes to show men that they're sinners. He comes to bring them out of their darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. And He does all this because He came to die for them. Ah, sinner, there's a Savior who died for someone like you. And may I say today, that's the only way that you can ever be right with God. Behold the Lamb of God. There's sin in your heart and you know it. There are many, many sins to your name and to your account, and you know it. You cannot escape it. How are you going to be saved? It is through Christ and the light that He brings as He died on the cross and He shed His blood. And thank God He rose again and He ever lives to save. Get to Christ. That leads me to this. Not only Christ and His revelation, but sadly, we must talk about this. Christ and His rejection. Christ and His rejection. That's the great sin of mankind. Rejection of Christ the light. And this passage speaks of this sad, this terrible response that men give to Christ and give to the gospel. They reject Him. It happened when He was born. It happened when He lived in this world. It happened when He was on that cross. It has happened ever since. And let me say to you, it has been happening in your life. Up until this moment, you have been rejecting Christ. Now, verse 5 says this. Just look at it again with me, because here we have this rejection. The light shineth in darkness. That's Christ. Shining in the midst of the darkness of mankind and a fallen world, the light shineth in darkness. But listen, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse number 10, He was in the world. Listen to these words. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into the world and He was rejected. The world that He had made, just not the physical earth is what is meant here. It is the human race. He came in among men. He walked among men. He wrought His miracles. He demonstrated, I am the Son of God. He showed why He had come. He made it all very clear. John's summing it up here. And he tells us that though He was in the world that He had made, and among the people that He had made, they rejected Him. It says, the world knew Him not. And the word knew there means much, much more than knowledge. It actually refers to love. And therefore, the world loved Him not. The world rejected Him, in other words. It goes on to say in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And so Christ and His rejection is very, very plainly set before us in these verses. Ah, my friend, you have rejected Christ. Christ and His rejection. You cannot escape that fact. It is a sin of which you're guilty. We read here in this passage of the light of creation, the very world that the Lord Jesus made tells you that you should seek after God. Verse 5 again, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And again, that tenth verse, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Now you are living in a world that Jesus Christ made. I was speaking this morning in that old Bible class on the first commandment. And I went off to deal with something concerning creation and the fact that creation actually demonstrates there is a God who made all things. And of course, that's a large subject all on its own. But let me tell you, my dear friend, the firmament showeth his handiwork. I was telling the folk in the Bible class, and I just saw this lately, the word firmament refers to space. Genesis 1, the firmament. Psalm 19, where you have those words, the firmament showeth his handiwork. It's a reference to space. The Bible talks about space. But in what way? That space is full of the evidence of God and the power of God and the glory of God. And men today who don't even believe in God are discovering continually that there is what the Bible says. There is a space to which there is no end. It's unlimited because it's a very revelation of the infinity of God. And oh, how ludicrous for men to say that a big bang caused it all. They can't tell you, can you, can they, what caused the big bang? Of course, there was no such thing. But my friend, the Bible takes you back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the light of creation calls upon you to come to the Savior, because it's the Savior who made all things. And the point of this, and the solemnity of this is very obvious. You are a creature, and you are in the hands of Jesus Christ. He gave you life. And He has sustained that life to this moment. And what have you done with that life that the Lord has given you? You have misused it. And my friend, you have abused it. And you have misspent it completely in sin, in the things of the world, as we say, pleasing yourself, pleasing the flesh. And yet the light of creation is telling you all the time you need to repent of your sin. There's a light of conscience here as well. Because John says, in verse number 9, he says, "This, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So in what way does Christ lighten every man that comes into the world? He does it because He's put a conscience in every man. Doesn't mean every man is saved. No, 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 because all men are not saved. It means that the Lord has put a conscience in every man. He put a conscience in you, and your conscience checks you and tells you this is wrong, whatever it is. And it strikes you at times, and you feel uneasy, and you feel guilty. And you realize I'm lost. Oh, I'm traveling through time. My days are running out. And the end is looming. And eternity is before me. And what am I going to do? And my friends, an awful thing to have a conscience that is awakened. And yet you can find no hope or no relief for that conscience in anything in this old world. But the problem is you're missing Christ. The light of creation is telling you about Christ. And the light of conscience telling you about Christ. But you have not listened. And then there's the light of the cross. As we talk about this Christ rejection. Verse 10 says He was in the world. It says in verse 11, He came on to His own, and His own received Him not. He was born into the world that He made. He came among the people that He had made, and yet there was no welcome for Him. Men saw, heard, and benefited from the Lord Jesus Christ, but they rejected Him. And though He died to save men from their sins eventually, remember what we saw, the Lamb of God, He died, He suffered. And yet they would have nothing of it. They would not have Him. And so they rejected all three forms of light. Creation, conscience, the cross. Christ and His rejection. How great and how dangerous is that sin? And you're guilty of that sin. If you'd only stop and look round you at the world in which you live, God tells you there's the evidence there that He is God. If you'd only listen to that inward monitor in your brain called the conscience, it tells you that God is. It tells you that you're a sinner. It tells you that you're lost. But you haven't been listening to it. And if only you would listen to the great message, behold, the Lamb of God that brings you to Calvary, brings you to the precious blood, brings you to the suffering and the agonies of the Savior. If only you think about that and listen to that message, that light, and let it flood your soul. But all along, throughout your days, you have been rejecting it all. And what's the end going to be? And the end, my friend, is spelled out in this book. Proverbs chapter 1, because when I called and they refused. It goes on to say, they will call and I will refuse. Sinner, the Lord is calling you. He is speaking to you. The light has been brought to bear upon your soul time and time and time again, but you just haven't listened. You have rejected it. And I'm telling you from this book, there will come a day when you will call upon the Lord to save you and he will not listen to you. It's the day of death and the day of judgment. When men come to die, many of them then get religious, as the saying is, but it's too late. On the very day when the Lord is coming back, the Bible tells us that men will start to pray, but it will be too late. When you reject Christ, he will reject you. Christ and his rejection. But there's also here, as I close, Christ and his reception. Because verse 12 goes on to say, but as many as received him, thank God, some do receive him. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. There's Christ in his reception. There's Christ in his revelation. He is the Savior, the only Savior. There's Christ in his rejection, and that's your great sin. But may it be replaced with Christ and his reception. There's a spiritual birth involved there. Because it says that these who receive him were born of God. That's the new birth. That is that great miracle that the Lord performs in the hearts of men. That's a transaction that no human power can perform. Born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. But you see, that's where our hope lies. It's God who saves. And what this is showing you is the great hope that he can save you. The supernatural power of God can change your life, make you a new creature, deliver you from your darkness, set you free from all of that darkness, and give you eternal life. That's the glorious news of the gospel. This issue of the spiritual birth that's involved in receiving Jesus Christ. Ah, man, woman, let me tell you today, you must be born again. Do not treat that term as being unimportant or worn out or mundane. I know that even in this whole world, people have taken that term and they have abused it and they have misused it and they've mocked it then and they've ridiculed it, but it's still in the Bible. And the words of our Savior are still abundantly clear. Except a man, a woman, a member of the human race is what it means. Except a person be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And so the Lord says it again, ye must be born again. Here is one experience without which you cannot do. You cannot face death and eternity with any hope, with any confidence of heaven until you're born again. So there is a spiritual birth here. In this reception of Christ, there's a spiritual bounty. For it says here, in if you go further down to verse 16, it says, of his fullness of all we received in grace for grace. They received him. And then verse 16 says, of the fullness of Christ they received. Receive the Savior and you will receive everything you need to save you. Spiritual bounty, fullness. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Receive Jesus Christ. See, that's the action of the sinner. As many as received him. It means to come to him and trust him and put your faith in him. And if you do, then you're going to receive this spiritual bounty. All needed to save your soul. All needed to justify you before God. Christ's blood to cleanse you. The Spirit to live in your heart. The work of the Holy Ghost to keep you throughout your days and save you more and more from your sin. It's all in Christ. It's a spiritual bounty. And you know, the very word received here is a word that signifies the acceptance of a gift. And I know that these things have been said in such a way that people just turn their ears against it all. But let me tell you, friend, do not reject what the Lord has shown you today. Rather, receive him, because he is the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And he is being offered to you. And you have been called on to receive Christ. And if you don't receive Christ, you're going to perish. Because it's in Christ that this spiritual birth is found. It's in Christ that this spiritual bounty is found. It's in Christ then that there's spiritual blessing. For it says, those who receive him, to them is given the power. But the right, the authority, that's what it means. To become the children of God. It says here, the sons of God. It refers to the children of God. There is spiritual blessing. To become one of the children of God. To be raised to a whole new spiritual level. To be elevated from your sinful state, your fallen condition, and be raised up to be one of the sons of God, the children of God, and of all that those privileges are in Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord's showing you today. This is what's found in Christ and his reception by the ungodly, by the sinful, by the lost. Christ and his revelation. Christ and his rejection. Christ and his reception. Sinner, you've heard again the gospel. You've heard of the one who is the Word and the light, who comes to save. Will you receive him today? I mean that. In your heart at this moment, is there that thought, that concern of soul and mind, which causes you to tell yourself, I need the Lord Jesus. I must be saved. I need to get to him and trust him. My dear friend, do not go away for another worship service doing what I was speaking of in my second point, rejecting Christ, but rather receive him. Receive him at once, and he will save you. Let us bow before the Lord. And in these closing moments, let us all unite together before the Lord in prayer. Let's give our hearts and our thoughts to what we've seen and heard today. May God take his word and use it. If there should be someone here, or more than one, and you would desire help and light and instruction and counsel further than what you've already heard, then come and see me. Get in touch. May this be the very day when you will come to the Savior and you will trust him. Lord, I do pray that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction home to the soul, and that sinners here will realize their need. They will see the darkness in which they are found and in which they live, and that environs them in a fallen world. But Lord, may they have their eyes open to see Christ and his power to save, And may they come and seek him as they're drawn by the Spirit, and may the work be done in the human heart even this very day. O Lord, do the work. Do it for the sake of Christ. And do it, Lord, for the sake of the sinner. And may there be rejoicing, as there was that night when the Savior was born. May there be rejoicing among the angels in heaven over sinners been born of God to hear and answer prayer. And part us now with thy blessing. And we pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.